Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah. But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic. There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree. Welcome back.
Are you all right?
To Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful mystery.
I'm J-Clone 31.
I just punched myself so hard.
Yeah, you smacked yourself silly because there was a huge friggin' spider crawling down your head. As the song was playing.
And he's just like,
There's a spider. And you're like, where is it? Let me hit it.
It was big enough I felled it with my hand.
It was one of them yellow. It had yellow on it.
Yeah, it's huge.
What are those called? Corn spider? No,
that's not a corn spider.
It's not a corn spider.
No, those are like 4 inches across.
Oh, okay.
Those are the massive ones.
That's when I sent you a picture of them one day, right?
Yeah.
In our garden?
Yeah, they're hand-sized.
Yeah. Those are pretty cool.
Oh, gosh. Welcome to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast.
Welcome. You just missed the big spider in the studio.
The big spider. I have a nasty headache.
Well, you just smacked yourself in the face.
Because I didn't realize how big it was until I seen it just for a second. And then I'm like, oh, that's
big.
That's a big spider.
I wasn't joking. I thought it was your hair until it started crawling back up.
It's really, really have a headache. Welcome to the monsters that made us.
Wow.
Ah, do you know what this episode's kind of about?
I don't know. That sounds like something like from a show or something.
Kinda. Maybe. No.
Monsters of the Midway or something?
Monsters of the Midway.
Isn't that something?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like a baseball reference.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yep. No. So before we get rocking and rolling into that, I got some new reviews. So this is from Magnum. Okay. Gawk.
Okay.
Don't want to say anything bad. The title is Just Listen. The duo is fantastic, full of great information and fun to listen to. I love it when they get into the really obscure cryptids that really rarely get covered. Well, thank you. We appreciate
that.
True. That's what we really love doing is some of the, don't get me wrong, we love Bigfoot and Dogman, but
there's local stories.
There's so many other cryptids out there that are so interesting. Next one's from Joseph V. 1989. Funny and fun. I've been listening to these guys ever since I found them in Hillbilly Horror Stories, and you are one of my favorites. I'm a huge monster movie guy, so it's right up my alley. Both of you are very funny and kind and my kind of people. Would love some more creature feature kind of episodes. Thank you for making me laugh and work and helping my day go by quicker. Well, thank you. And we have
super nice. Appreciate that.
Yeah, we have some creature features scheduled for later on in the season.
Ooh, so stay tuned.
Like, I think we have some that have been on the list forever.
Wait, I think Monsters of the Midway was like a movie thing.
I have no idea.
And he just referenced monster movies.
I have a headache.
Well, that's not how you kill spiders, right? Smacking yourself.
Hey, it works. Is it dead?
It is dead. It's still on the floor. It's parts.
It's in two pieces.
Yeah.
I've never seen a spider break into two pieces from hitting it.
Me either. I think you split it on your glasses.
Oh, that could have been. Some new Patreon members. First, we got Corn Shirt.
Corn Shirt made it.
Mm-hmm. Then we have Scarlet F. Angle.
Thank you, Scarlett. Welcome to the cult.
Dylan Hawkins.
Dylan, you son of a welcome to the show.
And Parson Salone.
Parsons?
Parson.
Parson, welcome. Well, and I think Corn Shirt was Spencer or Asher, yeah. One of the two,
Spencer,
I think.
Spencer, it's Spencer.
Spencer.
Actually, I think we gave him a shout-out last week, and I just got confused.
Oh, okay.
Because I think we had this exact conversation. A cable just touched my hand. Now I'm all about...
spiders and whatnot. Corn Shirt. Corn shirt.
If you came to the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree at the VIP dinner,
you would know.
You would know. We were all screaming
corn shirt.
Oh, gosh. All right. So that's it. The book. So as of recording this, the book is pretty much finished. It should be going to get printed in the next couple days.
Woo-hoo!
It's super exciting. Thank you, Alex, for doing the edit on that. And she's our first, like, freelancer that we, like, besides maybe Pear, because we've always bought art from Pear.
Yeah.
So kind of our first, like, actual freelancer outside of the art world.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, hiring people to do stuff.
That's right.
Even though she did it for free. But the next one, I'm paying her.
Right. Welcome, Alex. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. okay, my last little thing is Crypticon, when this comes out, should be in like a couple weeks. So that's where you can get the book. If you want it signed, you can get it there. All that fun stuff. Crypticon, this is like, they're moving the date on Crypticon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Fair Week, my Fair Week.
Next, 2025.
2025, next year. So we'll still be there in some capacity, but it won't be like how we've been doing Crypticon like the last 3 or 4 years.
Right. It will be a little different.
So if you're coming to Crypticon, get ready for a party.
This year. In a couple weeks.
Saturday is the big party day because we'll probably have the girls. So we'll make it a point. Saturday is the big party day.
You get to see the girls. You get to see my dad.
I forgot your dad's coming. That's exciting. Hopefully he'll babysit Saturday.
I'm sure he will to some capacity.
If we put him to bed, they'll sleep for the whole night. Just make sure nobody steals them.
Yeah. Well, that's if he wants to go to bed. That's the issue.
Yeah. Which I don't know.
I don't know either.
But yeah, so all that fun, exciting stuff. Hopefully if our room's on the ground floor, we'll just hang outside the room.
Oh, I hope so.
Like, we'll just do that.
What do you mean?
Because the hotel's super weird.
It is. It's a
weird
layout.
So some of them have balconies. Some of them don't. Some of them are like on the ground floor where you can be outside. And some of them aren't.
In the hallway?
That are like outside the building.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now I understand. Okay. Like outside your back door in the room. Okay.
And we'll hang out with everybody. But if you're coming, let us know. We always try to do hangout stuff for our listeners. We have a lot of fun. If you've never been to a Crypticon, I think our record's like 40-something people that we had that one time.
In the bar.
We were the bar. The Crypticon crew was the whole bar.
That's true.
But please let us know you're coming. So I normally create like group chats and be like, hey, here's where we're going to be, what time, that kind of stuff. That way nobody gets left out. So
right.
let us know you're coming.
All are included.
Yeah, we love everybody come out and have some fun. Another call out for the hometown legend stuff. If you have hometown urban legends, hometown cryptids, hometown hauntings, the witch's house, any of that stuff, pretty much all of it, please email us and start a conversation with me. It's for a special project. And that's it. You ready to get into monsters? Oh, we took too long to get started.
Why?
Just, it's 8 minutes.
Oh, they don't like that, do they?
Some people don't, but
that's
it's fine.
All right.
It's whatever.
Right. Yeah, monsters of, what did you say, monsters?
Monsters that made
us. Yeah.
So this is an episode I want to do for a while, and I actually cut back on it.
You're not talking about my dad, are you?
No, that's a monster that was made.
Well, he made me.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for picking on your dad. I never do it. I normally do it on Patreon, not publicly.
Yeah, well, now you're going to have to deal with it at CryptidCon.
Anybody didn't know, Jay's dad has burns.
Yeah.
Like over a big portion of, especially his like face, head
mostly
area.
His face, half his face, which he's grown his goatee out.
I seen.
Yeah. My mom's like, is that oil? She thought oil or dirt on his face. And now that's half my mustache.
So I want to do this as some of these animals, these are all animals, right? And I think all of these have made it into modern day. But these have really, really high importance to people, humans across the world. I have four, and they're all from four different continents. I may do the rest of the continents later. I was just getting to be too big an episode with how much. So you're going to have a lot of science and then a lot of cryptid sightings in comparison with these guys.
Ooh, my two favorite things.
And we have a brand new monster to the show. It's been a while since we've added a new guy into the roster.
Uh-oh.
So, you ready to get started?
Yeah.
Who do you think's the first one? It's the one we talk about all the time. No,
dog. Oh.
of a prehistoric animal that was with people.
Oh.
One of the monsters that made us.
Gotcha. Let's see here. Giant ground sloth.
A really good guess.
Okay.
You may appear later in the list.
Oh, shoot.
Short-faced bears.
Oh, there we go. Yes, that is a significant animal.
Yeah, oh my gosh. These guys shaped so much of America, not just for people. We're going to talk about other animals that they've had dramatic impacts on. The biggest bear ever, as far as we know, the short-faced bear, the cave bear, it's the same animal. Let's talk about short-faced bears, and we'll talk about them as an animal. We'll talk about them with people, and then we're going to talk about modern short-faced bear sightings.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
So let's dive into the world of short-faced bears and their size comparisons, behaviors, and geological locations that deal with humans. Do you remember how big these things are when they're standing up?
So I'm going to guess. I don't remember. I'm basing it off the one outside of Cabela's, that big statue.
That's not... they're not that big. That's like 25 feet tall.
Oh, okay.
That's an elephant-sized bear,
well,
which
huge.
These aren't far off.
I'm guessing like, I don't know, 14, 15 feet on when they're stood up.
When they're stood up, right. Most scientists are, with the skeletal remains we have, pretty much top mount at like 13 feet. Tall.
Standing up?
Yeah.
So what would that be on all fours? Like foot to shoulder, I guess.
Like 5.5-6 foot tall at the shoulder.
That's still pretty big.
It's way bigger than any bear alive today.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How big are like brown bear on average?
So the Kodiaks, we're going to bring up Kodiaks later. One of the biggest brown bears on the planet. Brown bears are a big group of many subspecies of bear.
Okay. And Kodiaks, like the biggest one of
Kodiaks
them?
Kodiaks, one of the bigger ones. Adirondack, like there's several bear species inside the brown bear family that are just massive.
Okay.
And then the other ones, you know, they top out at like 800 pounds.
But none of them reach the short-faced bear size. Okay.
So most scientists estimate these guys maxing out around that 12 to 13 feet tall and 2,500 to 3,000 pounds.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
That's a little heavier than most rhinos.
Do you think any Russians could wrestle them?
No.
Not these ones, okay.
No, I mean, they would literally swipe you and destroy you. And they're not really built like other bears.
Okay.
So polar bears have some longer limbs. They're more for paddles, though. Their paws are absolutely massive.
Yeah.
And they swim.
Right.
They're really good at swimming. People don't realize how good polar bear is at swimming. They're really, really amazing. They catch beluga whales.
That's insane.
They catch a whale. And polar bears are also a very, very impressive animal. These guys are bigger.
Right.
And probably more impressive.
You'll know how good they are at swimming when you see one jump off that sheet of ice, comes swimming toward
when
you.
When they disappear under the water for like 10 minutes and like, then they're like... next to you, that's one of the most terrifying things.
Yeah.
But these guys had super nomadic lifestyles.
Okay.
So they may have had a den they would spend some time into, but they were constantly moving around. They were not like brown bears or black bears with territories.
Yeah.
And brown bears, black bears are a little nomadic. Like if they smell something, they'll leave their areas to go find it. Like whale falls, like whale carcasses, that kind of stuff. Like brown bears will come from, you know, 50 miles.
To come get that food.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and nomadic being like they travel.
They like to travel a lot.
There you go.
That's their lifestyle. So they have certain adaptations to do this, like extremely long legs. Matter of fact, the longest leg to body ratio of any bear.
Oh, wow.
These guys also have the ability to run/trot the longest of any bears.
I just had a picture in my head, like they're built like the AT-AT walkers?
Yeah.
From the big four-legged things?
Not quite as dramatic. But there's some thoughts that these guys would actually use this ability to, like what humans used to, exhaust prey.
Oh, okay.
They would just chase you.
Keep
until
running.
Until you couldn't run anymore.
Yeah.
So the whole time, it's not running full blast. These guys could run like 40 miles an hour or 50 miles an hour. They could run really fast.
Like cocaine.
But they're
bear.
Running like 10, 15 miles an hour just to keep animals moving.
Moving, yeah.
So the whole time you have this 3,000-pound monster that's just pacing
you.
With you.
Yeah.
So when it gets up, when you finally sit down... it's just going to murder you.
That's scary. Like humans.
Huh?
Like humans.
Oh, yeah. They really liked eating peoples. Short for bears, also known as, Arcturus simmons was a massive animal. America and Russia, they average height, you know, compared to humans, they're like 3-4 times taller. You can imagine just seeing something like that.
It's coming out of the mist.
So let's talk about some of their behaviors.
Okay.
So they have solitary nature, as far as we can tell. And once, you know, we have bones and fossil remains of these guys. They were probably solitary like polar bears. Preferring to roam and hunt alone, their behavior is constant with social natures of humans. So they're very against humans, you know, as far as the comparison. Which humans often thrive in groups. The only time we think they ever really got involved with each other is courtship, is breeding.
Mm, okay.
And that may have been not, you know, the, probably the safest thing to be around.
No, I bet not.
Territorial behavior. These were extremely territorial creatures.
Okay.
Not only were they territorial against other short-faced bears, they were territorial against any carnivore.
So anything that gets in their circle.
Cave lions, which is one that almost made this list, and they didn't this time around, probably next time. They would murder them. Humongous, you know, North American lions.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just crush their skulls.
Mm.
Other bears, they loved eating brown bears. And we'll actually talk about, there was a turning point in North American history where the brown bear may have gone extinct due to short-faced bears.
Wow.
Because they liked eating them so much.
Cannibals, almost.
Well, a different species of bear.
Yeah, close enough, though.
Foraging. They were highly skilled foragers and hunters. They were, you know, they weren't like polar bears, which polar bears are just carnivores. There's no plant matter in their diet due to where they live. Grizzly bears, or brown bears, and black bears have much more plant-based diets.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are very similar, you know, around that 50-60% plant-based. And then brown bears are more scavengers, and, you know, they're very capable of killing anything on the continent.
Right.
But they're more prey stealers. So they'll come up and bully other animals for prey because they're so much big.
That's brown bears, you're saying?
Yes, brown bears.
Okay.
And black bears, you know, they're more specialized in eating very small protein items.
Frogs, amphibians, yeah. Fish.
Now, short-faced bears were the opposite. Mm. You know, 60-70% of their diet was protein, and they would murder anything they wanted to get it.
Yeah.
They would carcass bully, too. There's evidence to suggest that.
I mean, why not?
I mean, they could.
Exactly.
Nothing is standing up to them. Saber-toothed cats and stuff like that would probably try it because they are big pack animals.
Yeah, if there was enough of them.
Yeah, if there's enough of them, they could. Wolves avoided them like the plague. Wolves will eat grizzly bears, probably not short-faced bears.
Dire wolves, maybe.
Dire wolves, but they were solitary or more solitary.
Okay.
So hibernation, short-faced bears exhibit hibernation behaviors, entering a state of dormancy during winter months to conserve energy. Now, there is some evidence to suggest that they did not do this fully.
Okay.
Where, like, polar bears have to commit. Brown bears and grizzly bears, you can wake them up. And that's actually the most dangerous. They call them death bears in Alaska.
Yeah, when they wake up.
If a grizzly wakes up in the winter.
Yeah.
Because they will murder. They turn from being cautious and kind of curious, just being murder machines.
Just being.
Because they're starving.
Yeah,
they
driven
wake
by
up
food.
And are starving.
Yeah.
So these guys would do the same thing. But they were, you know, a lot bigger and a lot more capable.
Wonderful.
Any questions about these guys so far?
Nah, yeah. So far, so good.
So geological locations. They're primarily found in North America during the Pleistocene. Fossils have just suggest they inhabited most of regions across the continent, including present-day Alaska, California, and Florida.
Hmm.
So there That's was a thought the range. For a long time. Well, there's a thought for a long time that they were a northern species and a prairie species.
Yeah.
Because they would, what we talked about, bulldog bears being a cryptid, would these bears that would just run at buffalo and grab them by the throat and kill a full-grown bison.
That's insane. Because bison are huge.
And that was in the 1800s.
Yeah.
And that was probably these guys.
Okay.
It was probably some of the last remnants of these guys.
I bet, too, though, the further south they move, the smaller they got, as most animals do.
Sure. But it's still, you know.
Still big.
If your starting weight is 3,000
yeah,
pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you lose 1,000 pounds, you're still the biggest bear ever.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
But so this is to show that they were fine in swampy conditions.
Mm-hmm.
They probably lived across all of North America. And how we kind of found where they didn't live is we looked at black bear fossil evidence.
Okay.
Because that's one of the first thing they did is extinguish every other bear species when they came into an area.
Okay. So black bears were there.
Yeah, there probably wasn't short-faced bears.
Right. Not eating them.
So humans kind of learned that too in the early days. Of if you see black bears, that's good. Because the demons that live in the forest at night aren't out there.
So black bears are like our little protectors.
No, they're an indicator species.
There we go. The canary in the coal mine.
If you start
mine.
Seeing exploded black bears.
Well, yeah, you run.
That's probably not the greatest thing.
Turn around and go back from whence you came.
They were very agile. Kind of the thing you get with bears is, you know, they always say run downhill because they'll trip and all that stuff. And I don't really think that's true.
I always thought, that's not what I heard.
Run uphill?
I heard you run downhill because... they're just as fast. They can only run one speed at top speed, uphill or downhill. That's what I heard.
It's not true.
So if you run downhill, you can run faster, but they can't. They can only maintain a certain speed. That's what I always heard.
So we always heard it that they would trip because their front legs are longer than their back legs, which is true.
Okay.
But their back is also sloped to for that, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's not like us. Our back's not designed for it.
Right, yeah.
But we think they would run about 40 to 45 miles per hour.
Oh, my gosh. You're not outrunning that. No
short burst. They could run an average speed of 15 miles an hour for long distances.
And so we're not doing that either. I mean, some people can, maybe.
By that time, but humans probably could do it.
Yeah, probably.
Modern man. Living there? Yeah.
Modern man? No.
So, unique anatomy. They had really flat faces compared to modern. And they had an extremely wide field of vision. Mm. With their eyes almost being more frontward facing.
Like a cave goat?
Like a cave goat, except they had the teeth to match it.
Oh.
And they had an extreme sense of smell. Their long limbs and large paws enabled them to cover extremely vast distances in search of food. They were just extreme hunters.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know where I picked this up, but don't bears generally have like one of the stronger olfactory nerves? Like senses?
Yeah, bears are pretty good at smelling.
Yeah.
And these are even extraordinary for bears.
Right, yeah, exactly. So
their nasal cavity was so much bigger.
Huge, yeah.
Yeah. Their extinction is a mystery. Like many of these animals that you'll hear on this list today, they probably aren't extinct, at least not fully. So the extinction rate in the short-faced bears remains subject to scientific debate. The factors they think is climate change and humans.
Yeah, definitely humans.
So let's talk about humans interacting. Short-faced bear caves. We found some of these caves that are the two animals we find full of the short-faced bear dens, the prey animals. They really liked eating people. And they really liked eating bears.
Okay.
So they were literally, imagine you just found this cave, right? All of the bones are grizzly bear bones and human skulls that are crushed.
Right, yeah. What do you think's in there?
That's a dragon.
Yeah, something.
That's a demon that's living in this mountain. So they were on the land bridge both times the land bridge formed. The earlier time, they were in much higher numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they think Homo sapiens humans directly didn't cross the first time. But maybe like the species like we talk about, the Denisovans, the giants, may have crossed there because they were able to deal with the short-faced bears a little easier.
Okay.
Also, short-faced bears, their mouth would fit right over the back of your skull, and they would just bite and crush the back of your skull.
That's insane.
So that's how they would kill people.
That would just be one of the worst ways to go.
Other bears go for the throat, and they would just bite skulls.
It's like, good.
Their jaw, the way that their jaws, that's why they have that weird-looking face,
uh-huh.
is they have, bears in general have extremely strong bite pressures. Short-faced bears were even more dramatically so.
I need to look one up now. Are they similar to like my dog, Chow's face?
Yeah, imagine Chow's head. Like they literally called bulldog bears.
Yeah.
So imagine like a dog, like they a flat-faced dog, which had these extreme bite muscles.
Which Chows are built exactly like that.
So they're like then that brings up to their competition with other bears. Black bears are hot, but most of North America since the middle of the Pleistocene, and basically at this time. Sorry. Despite this, generally speaking, large fossil remains of these groups, they've seen reduction in numbers once short-faced bears got here.
Okay.
And they would just love eating them.
Gosh, these things are so big. I'm looking up pictures of them right now. They're just gigantic.
Some of the only bears that seem to really be able to kind of stand their ground against these are some of the Vancouver Island bears, like we're talking about Kodiaks.
Okay.
So the Kodiaks, as the invasion of like the giant short-faced bears came in, not saying that they wouldn't win on a one-on-one fight,
mm-hmm.
but it was getting to be too much trouble
for them to pursue it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why all the Kodiaks retreated to that island to reinforce themselves against the short-faced bear.
Grizzlies can just get that big, and it's probably because of the food sources.
Yeah, I know.
Massive salmon runs.
I like to pretend it's the short-faced bear issue.
So the Clovis people, these are the monsters of the night. These are the things that go bump out there that why humans are inherently scared of the dark.
What, the Clovis people?
No, the monsters that the Clovis people had to deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
These things. Like, imagine.
Clovis people, though.
You've seen a short-faced bear. You've seen it, like, rips a guy's head off or whatever.
Yeah.
And you hear a, like, stick crack at night.
Yeah, if it's that thing coming.
Well, you don't know, right? You don't know. But that's the thing. Like, is it a deer? Or is it a 2,500-pound murder monster?
Yeah.
So humans, the early days, had a lot of trouble dealing with these. And then, like I said, they survived both mass extinctions in the Ice Age.
Mm-hmm.
So most of those animals, what's weird is most of the animals that survived both those are lived in the modern day.
Yeah.
These guys went extinct like 10,000 years ago, 11,000 years ago.
Well, I mean, that explains a lot, too, of the way even like settlers or pioneers used to build their own cabins and stuff to protect their family. Like they would build the lofts like where you'd sleep, and like you have to go outside, climb a ladder, go through it like a chute, like a hole in the wall that's reinforced and closed with a door, and that's the only way in and out of that one room.
Because there was monsters out there,
short-faced bear that would literally just flatten into your house and destroy everything.
So we start seeing around 15,000 years ago, brown bears and black bears making a big jump. So we think this is a reduction in the short-faced bear populations.
Okay.
So they're still there. They're still their species is still healthy, but we think it's they were starting to have a reduction in population, and we actually believe it was humans doing this. So humans flipped the script,
hunting them.
Yeah. So this was all theory up until we found the Luddick Lake landmark in Texas. There was not only one, but several deceased short-faced bears that were in the process of being processed, being butchered.
Okay.
And they were looking like they were actually had tools made out of these guys, mammoth bones and these guys. And they were looking to be an actual, like, permanent food source. So anytime they would run across or see the sign of these, they were going out of their way to hunt them.
Yeah.
So they were probably didn't breed very fast. They probably didn't, you know, they didn't like each other, and they were roamers. So we talk about these animals that have populations where they're big roamers. There's not as many of them.
Mm-hmm.
At great white sharks, there's probably only 4,000 of them on the whole planet.
Yeah.
And, you know, they see them all over the world, but yeah. And then they found another processing site, in Utah, in Huntington Dam, Utah, in Sheridan Cave, Ohio.
In Ohio?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they found the remains of these in Clovis people and other Paleo-Indian artifacts that were actually butchering short-faced bears at this time.
Wow.
So around that 11,000-year mark, it looked, humans flipped the script and really started hunting out their predators. Really, any animal that was scary, and humans still do it today, anything that's scary or big, they purposely figured out how to hunt them.
Yeah.
So they would use that these bears would probably most likely stand their ground, and they would use that to fight them.
Mm.
Because, you know, they could easily outrun them.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, in a species like for fighting for survival, you're going to learn how to, you know, kill the things that are killing you or are a threat to you.
So there's a huge thing with the – that's kind of the interactions with people is they think of people were the final nail in the coffin for them. I think they've survived in modern day, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. The last thing is that migration barrier hypothesis. Is that these are the reason why the Clovis people, why humans didn't move into North America sooner. It's because of short-faced bears. And they would loved eating people.
Yeah. And that's just all if you subscribe to that Clovis people hypothesis. Whatever, yeah. Yeah.
But people in general, right?
Yeah.
Why humans weren't here earlier, at least like what we understand as modern-day humans.
Ones that earlier. Traveled by land, I guess, yeah. Not by...
It's because there was monsters.
Sea, or by, you know, what do they call that when you just follow the shoreline? Like in
there's a word for it, but I don't know.
In a little boat.
So let's talk about some cryptids that involve short-faced bears. The mystery of giant bears being sighted in the Karachuma Peninsula of Russia, where the locals claim that they are not typical brown bears, but they call them Irukums, which is also known as god bears.
Wow.
In 1855, a French zoologist came to the conclusion these bears were a separate species. So, you know, a lot of people saying that every once in a while there's just this absolutely giant, weird monster brown bear.
Mm-hmm.
And it kills other bears. That's why it was called the god bear. It was literally like they'd find grizzly bears that were just murdered.
Yeah.
And so they started to think, well, that's probably a separate species. In 1920, a zoologist, Stan Bergman, had a chance to examine the skin of one of these alleged bears. He noticed that the size was way beyond any brown bear that had ever been recorded in the area. Not a little bigger, a lot bigger. And it had a different sort of fur. He prompted to give them the name of the separate subspecies of Ursus atrus purser. So he was still our Brigantum's bear, which we've talked about in our short-faced bear episodes before.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a famous bear. It was said it was a new species, and it was probably just a short-faced bear. He noted it was just huge. In the 1960s, there were reports on a Russian hunter, Rodin, who has further testified that the natives in the region often spoke of every once in a while running into a strange-looking bear that was much larger than the usual bears, which also had a different, unique appearance. They would talk about the head being like that of a dog's.
Okay, like we just said earlier.
Yeah. In 1987, Sorvark, a man, even claimed that he got a hold of a skin of one of these bears, but something unknown happened to it.
Smithsonian got involved.
Well, that would be the time that they were reburying artifacts. It also had something of a speculated that Brigham's Bear was perhaps a relic population of the extinct short-faced bears, despite the fact that this peninsula was not a historical range for these creatures, but just about, it was only like 150 miles out of the range.
Oh, okay.
So not. I mean, yes. They could just be there in a minute.
Right, yeah.
Another curious case of a possible surviving giant short-faced bear is that of the McFarland's Bear, which we've talked about on this show forever.
Yep.
In 1896, a naturalist, Roderick McFarland, brought an extremely unusual hide and skull of sorts of a mystery bear that had been killed by an Inuit hunter that was staying in Fort Artisan's Canada in the Northwest Territories. The skin was very unusual as it had a yellowish hair, and the skull was that of somewhat misshapen. Particularly, the front tooth formation was not typical of any normal bears. The Inuit people explained that the hide and the skull were from a type of massive bear not like the others. They said that they still roam in some of the remote areas, and they are rare for them to see.
So the Inuit already know about them.
The people that they got the skull and the hide from are like, yeah, they're out there. They're super rare. They stay pretty high up in the mountain areas. We only see, probably once a decade kind of deal.
You think it's with it having that yellow or whitish or yellowish, I guess, fur skin, whatever they said. You think it's a hybrid of
a pizzly,
or a shizzly. A shizzly bear, as I guess would be the right term.
I have no idea. No, so there's a chance. I've seen people, before I have something he said about the bear, but before that, yeah, I've seen people say that this specifically and some of these other were probably like pizzlies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I do not think so, because every example of a pizzly we have today, which is a polar bear-grizzly hybrid.
Right. I was going to say a port-faced bear.
Every example we have today is very much white. They can be kind of yellow, but the gene for the translucent fur
is so strong.
It's so strong that they're white. Yeah. I mean, the grizzly bear that's white keeps getting grabbed and thrown up into the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, I know. That poor grizzly.
Three times. He's been captured three times.
Poor grizzly.
His life just sucks. They just need to bring him to like to California or something where there's no polar, like really out of polar bear range.
Oh, he gets probably murdered though immediately.
Rarely seen. The author of The Outdoorsman, Caspar Whiteley, also reported his own possible sighting of one of these mysterious bears in the late 1800s. He described it as thus. This particular bear seemed to cross between a grizzly and a polar, and has a particularity. The hind claws are as big as the front claws, while the head looks somewhat like that of an Eskimo's dog. Very broad in a forehead. It's square, a long muzzle, but the head is very much like that of a big, heavy dog.
Okay.
It is very wide at the shoulders. The robe of colors resembles more of that of a grizzly. So he was just, I don't know why he said it was a hybrid. Nothing about that seems hybrid. He's describing this almost bulldog or, this heavy, like a Rottweiler head.
Okay.
On this humongous bear.
Well, wouldn't you just think it's just a short-faced bear?
That's kind of before short, like these are people that were out there. They didn't know what short-faced bear
gotcha.
Was.
Gotcha. Okay. Understood.
So they're describing it. They know what a polar bear is and they know what a grizzly bear is.
Okay.
The two monsters that are still out there.
Okay.
But yeah. So not quite knowing what to do with the strange skin, McFarland sent it to?
The Smithsonian.
Yes. So if you don't know what happened to the Smithsonian, there's plenty of stories with this. McFarland sent it to the Smithsonian to get ID'd. They went back and forth about, we gave it to another museum. And he's like, why? Why'd you give it to another museum? It's mine.
Right.
You're just supposed to ID it for me. They went back and forth forever. Finally, McFarland got it back. And it was like a third the size. And it was a normal grizzly bear skull.
Mm-hmm. Very different.
So there's all this, there's just a lot of stuff with that.
Yeah, the Smithsonian's like, no, we gave it to this museum to examine. So we went to that museum. They're like, no, we gave it to this one to examine. And then they give it back to the Smithsonian. So they kept giving them the runaround till they finally just gave them that skull.
Yeah.
So it's missing. They stole it.
So this is our first monster, a monster that made us.
Mm-hmm.
It shaped a lot of North American humans, this idea. And like that's just touching the surface. We talked about short-faced bears forever. But these bulldog bears, I really think they're still out there. I think they're in very low numbers. I don't really think they're probably in the lower 48 anymore.
Probably not.
Some of their last stories, like the 1800s, were in the lower 48. Literally, guys on the prairie seeing these long-legged bears.
Mm-hmm.
They call bulldog bears or boogie bears I think it was like booger dogs was one
something
of them,
like that weird.
Where they would kill cattle and bison by just grabbing their throat and crushing.
That's insane.
I don't think a grizzly bear could kill a bison, but that's still a hard work. Bison are, you know, bigger than grizzlies.
They're gigantic.
An adult bison, you know, a big bison is 2,000 pounds.
Not something to play with. Like that guy in the field teasing one.
Just another guy just got gored.
Another one?
Yeah, just got gored like 2 days ago. I was recording this.
What are people thinking?
And there's, you can hear in the back of the camera a guy saying, don't do that.
Yeah.
It's not a pet.
2,000 pound animal is going to launch you.
And he touched it.
Yeah.
And it just turned and just, I think he went right between the horns.
Oh, so he got lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he just got thrown. So what do you think about short-faced bears? Do you think they're still out there?
I do in some capacity. Whether they're still there or they've been bred out of existence.
Now, that's another chance that what we're talking about, these sightings, could be short-faced bear-grizzly bear hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. I go back and forth on that. Probably the first time we did this episode, that's what I would have said. Now, I don't really think so. Mostly because of how much short-faced bears hated other bears.
Yeah. I just don't know, you know, you get pushed into a situation where you need to find a mate or something or something.
But they're very solitary. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But they're very solitary, and that's a prey item. When you look at grizzly bears and polar bears breeding,
mm-hmm.
they're close enough to the same size. Polar bears are bigger than grizzlies,
mm-hmm.
not by a ton.
Right.
So, you know, they're still bigger, but a grizzly can stand on its own, right? A grizzly, if a polar bear is really coming at it, a grizzly is going to stand and fight back and
yeah.
maybe not win. But it's going to really, really hurt that polar bear.
Right, yeah.
A short-faced bear was designed to eat other bears.
Unless it's just looking for...
Imagine if it got... you get one short-faced bear to Admiralty Island.
It would destroy... Yeah.
Just see bears exploding left and right.
Well, they'd probably gang up on it at some point.
I don't think so.
They go
bears... Grizzly bears don't like other grizzly bears.
No, but they'll go to the... There's some secret council.
You know the number one predator of grizzly bear cubs is grizzly bears?
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Like, the only thing that's killing... The only limiting factor for grizzly bears today is grizzly bears.
Hmm. Yeah, that's not good for them.
No. But yeah. So, I think they're still out there. And like you said, they could quite possibly been breeding with grizzlies. You know, if an animal of a population gets desperate enough...
They'll do it.
They could hybridize.
Right, yeah.
Polar bears and grizzly bears are more... Like, polar bears are getting very desperate for mates, and they're leaving their native homes due to, like, ice sheets melting and not returning seasonally. So they're being pushed more into grizzly bear territory, and the grizzly bears are also moving further north than they ever have been. Especially that one that keeps getting a helicopter ride.
Back to the north.
That must suck.
Yeah.
Just because he's white.
If anyone don't know that story, it's just a hybrid, a pizzly.
It's a pizzly.
That they found in, what is it, no, it's Washington or...
No, it's in Northern Canada.
Northern Canada. Oh, it's
so
okay.
He's only like 200 miles outside of grizzly bear range, or not, polar bear range.
So they keep...
They keep tranking him and... Putting him in a net and flying him back up to the Arctic Circle and dropping him off.
So when he wakes up, he's in the middle...
starving to death.
And freezing, and he comes back down, then they do it again.
My next animal for you, I guess we should do an ad break. That's only the first animal, and we're already 40 minutes in. I have three animals more for you.
Maybe this will be a two-parter.
It may be.
The monsters that made us.
Yeah. I'll get you an ad pulled up. You ready?
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to Cooking with JClone77. And we're back again on a new episode with my guest chef, the Defiance Dogman.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, okay, Defiance Dogman. Today, you're preparing a special dish. What do you got for us today?
Lamb chops.
Ah, some roasted lamb chops. Oh, now, you said today you brought a secret ingredient. What was that you brought with us today? Oh, spicy Bigfoot breath. Raw garlic dust from Flavors of the Forest?
Yeah, best thing.
Ah, let me sprinkle a little bit on my lamb chop here that you prepared. Oh, my goodness. This flavor profile went from a 10 to an 11.
That means you go...
Couldn't have said it better myself, Mr. Dogman. And you can find this. You can get your own bottles of Flavors of the Forest raw, spicy garlic dust, raw garlic dust, spicy garlic dust, Bigfoot breath. It's all delicious and packed full of garlic, delicious flavor that you can't get anywhere else. You can get it at flavorsforest.com/corn.
At
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. So this next animal is, I'm pretty certain, the first time we've ever at least seriously talked about it on the show.
Okay.
The type of animal.
Okay.
Homotherium.
Homotherium. Is it related to rhinos?
That's a good guess, because therium is normally, like, that is like a scientific name for like large mammals.
Okay.
Like Megatherium is the giant ground sloth.
What I thought of was Paraceratherium.
Paraceratherium.
Yeah.
You know, the giant rhino.
Yeah.
So that's a good guess. No, it's not.
Okay. So it's just mega fauna.
Yeah. It's not even really a megafauna. It's a carnivore of megafauna.
Something that eats megafauna.
So what do you think, out of all of the prehistoric Ice Age mammals, what do you think was one of the scariest ones people dealt with? Obviously, the short-faced bear was terrifying.
Right.
But once you got out of their territory, and humans turned the script on them pretty quick.
I'd imagine like a mammoth or something. Or a mastodon. Yeah. For most dangerous or scariest?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say something like that.
Think about fierce intelligence.
Ooh, okay. Fierce intelligence. I don't know. What continent are we
talking? The mega big cats.
Oh, okay. Like a big saber tooth.
So do you know the difference between a saber tooth cat and a saber tooth tiger?
I guess I never really thought about it. No.
There is a difference. So saber tooth cat is a super arching family.
So that's a thing. Those are two separate things?
Kind of.
Okay.
It's like turtles and tortoises.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
A saber-toothed cat is a group, a major overarching biological group.
Okay.
Of many different species of cat.
And the saber-toothed tiger falls within
normally
that?
Like one of three species. When you say saber-toothed tiger, most of the time you're talking about Smilodon.
Okay. That's
the big, oversized, super dramatic canines.
Yes.
They all had pretty big canine teeth. Like, that's what makes the family remarkable.
Right.
Is these sabers.
But from the movie Ice Age, that's like, what you
that's
think
what
of.
Diego is a Smilodon.
Yeah.
Is he super-sized.
Uh-huh.
So, Homotherium is an African-European species. These guys...
Of cat?
Of saber-toothed cat.
Okay, gotcha.
And they had wicked... their extinct genus of sickle-toothed cat, belonging to the extinct subfamily Microdontidae, which just means really big teeth. From North America, South America, Eurasia, and Africa. So these guys, this group of cats, conquered the world. So when you're looking at Smilodon as like the North American, South American guy.
Okay.
This is like one of the more famous European, African ones.
Okay.
So I really want to, like, when you think of saber-toothed cats, why humans have such a strong proclivity to big cats is because they were one of our apex predators across the board.
Oh, for sure.
Some of the other guys we're going to talk about a little bit are more continent-specific.
Uh-huh.
But these guys were like saber-toothed cats as a generalist, or big cats, everywhere. Everywhere humans are, these guys are.
Every
and
continent.
And they were eating people.
Except Antarctica.
Who knows?
Oh, anything could be possible.
Mm-hmm. So they started around 4 million years ago, and I'm going to guess when they went extinct?
11,000 years ago.
Yeah.
When everything else did.
Well, and it's like the third... So there's, like I said, two mass extinctions normally in the Ice Age. And there's that third one, like 11,000 years ago, which some people say is the comet. Some people say that. Some people say it's because humans got good enough to murder everything back.
Hunt everything.
Yeah. But yeah, they lived. It's one of the last surviving members of the subfamily group that also the saber-toothed cat known as Smilodon was a part of.
Okay.
So these guys made it the longest.
The Homotherium?
Yeah, the Homotheriums. And they were pretty big. They, like I said, you know, you see, like, they were about the size of a lion.
Okay.
Of a big, fully grown lion. So, one of the biggest living big cats today.
Do we have, like, any, like bones or fur or?
I don't know about fur, but there are bones of these guys.
Okay.
They're fossils, too, but there are bones.
Because if you look up the pictures of them, they're pretty uniquely shaped, I'd say, but their fur, at least in the photos, are really unique.
We have cave paintings of these guys. So
okay.
Gives us a good picture of what they look like.
Okay.
Because, you know, the people that they were eating them and eating them back, you know.
Yeah.
They would see these and they'd paint them. So it is a large cat compared to the size of a lion. It is also in comparison to a Smilodon, just it's the African Eurasian version.
Okay.
Homotherium was shorter at the shoulder. But yeah, it was also probably adapted to running down prey rather than ambushing prey, which is why they think Smilodon went extinct. So Smilodon, why it had the most exaggerated canines, is they were to pierce the tracheas, essentially,
right,
of mega mammals.
Right.
They cut them in half and just sever the windpipe so they couldn't breathe. But they had these giants, and so they were bulky and these huge, huge cats. So they couldn't run very fast. They couldn't run very long distances. So once those animals kind of started going away, and, you know, more replaced by like deer and elk and those kind of megafauna and bison, which are huge but can run forever.
Okay.
It was harder for the Smilodons to kind of keep up with those prey items. And then things like humans and other predators moving in were kind of like the final nails.
Yep, pushed them over the edge.
So that's why they went extinct much earlier than something like Homotherium.
Right.
Because they were more designed. They had big canines too, but nothing like Smilodon. But they were more designed to run down prey, and they were better at it.
Okay.
So they could adapt the oncoming the thing.
With the changes.
Yeah. So they were, you know, first discovered by Richard Owen, and kind of labeled them as a different species. They've been relabeled many times just due to the cat family being so huge. Africa, in 1972, a species of Homotherium problematium was originally a different species, was named after the fragmental material from Africa. Basically, they had so much problems with it, they named it after it.
Nice.
but yeah. In America, like I said, they're subfamilies. They had all kinds of things. These guys were highly successful. These guys really liked eating people.
Interesting.
So two fearsome newfound specimens of these saber-toothed cats were found, and they were found to suggest that they were probably the one that ate early ancestors of humanity the most.
So we got good at killing them.
Oh, they got good at killing us first.
Yeah.
These feline predators might also prove to be the boom that our ancestors needed, scientists think.
For what?
That humans may have been, honest, like early humans or non-human things, but things that became humans in evolutionary theory. These things, we hit a staggering, like a stagnant point.
Okay.
These predators that adapted to hunt us specifically made humans get smarter.
Ah, pushed us.
Yeah.
We always need that.
Yeah. So these guys were very important to Africa.
It was like, do you remember in elementary school, did you have Mrs. Neely as your gym teacher? Do you remember that?
No.
How darn it. Well, Mrs. Neely was our elementary gym teacher, and she'd make us run when we do outside to do like physical exercise and do like just our stuff that she had us doing in gym. But we were little kids. We used to run laps around the old recess playing field that's no longer exists. Now it's a pavement. It's asphalt, which is gross to me. But we used to go outside and actually run in the grass, and she'd send us on these laps. Well, on the very last stretch, there was like the old, like there was a line of trees, was like a little woods basically. And she'd always tell you, you know, when you turn that corner, you got to finish strong. Or she'd either say either it was a bear or a big tiger was going to come out of the woods and chase you down. So you had to run really hard to finish strong through the finish line. But you always have that threat of a big bear or cat chasing you down. So she was tapping into that.
That primal.
Yeah.
And humans are instinctively scared of them because it's that primal fear that because they were eating us forever.
Yeah, it worked. Because that was like about almost a mile that
why
full.
Didn't we, I heard somebody ask, why didn't we domesticate bears instead of dogs? Look at them.
Yeah. Good luck.
People see black bears, right? That's maybe the only example of a bear they ever see in their life.
Yeah.
They're not domestic whatsoever.
They're not.
The most people habituated.
Yeah.
So they just might not. You run into them in Townsend, Tennessee. They're not going to rip out your throat unless you bother them.
There's no animal husbandry.
Seen a video of these couple were in their window in Gatlinburg.
Huh?
They're on the strip. They had one of the, you know, the $4,000 a night friggin' places. And there's this drunk couple walking in the alley. And he's yelling. And the guy in the window is sober. Or at least sober enough that it sounded sober.
Yeah.
He's like, stop walking. And he's like, I'll walk wherever I effin please. And he's like, no. There's a bear sitting next to you, idiot. And he's like, there ain't no. And there's just a 400-pound black bear.
Yeah.
Just sitting there. Freaking out because this guy got cornered.
Yeah.
He doesn't realize it.
Yeah.
And finally, he's like, oh! And he takes off running.
Yeah.
So he did everything wrong.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about where, like I said, there's so many early human skulls that were crunched by these guys, and their trachea is broken by these guys. The teeth pattern is matched.
Yeah.
Homotherium were preying upon people forever. Early people. And let's talk about the animals' associate fossils or associate bones. So I'm going to read you some African animals. I want you to tell me if you noticed anything about these. They were found, they're mostly found with crocodiles, hippos, aardvarks, turtles, giraffes, snakes, antelopes, mongoose, foxes, hyenas, otters, and honey badgers.
Okay.
Do you notice anything about all those animals?
They're smaller than a homotherium?
Oh, no, I said hippos and and giraffes.
Okay, I guess I left them out.
They're still alive today.
Right.
They survived every mass extinction with these guys.
Oh, okay, understood, yeah.
So when the other big cats were going extinct, the other sabers were going extinct, these guys survived right along with everything else.
Right.
So their associate group of animals survived into modern day. So it makes sense that they survived into modern day.
You would think so, yeah.
I mean, that's just from looking at it, yes.
Say the only way they didn't is if humans actively, you know, hunted them to extinction. That'd be the only reason why they wouldn't still be here.
So they believe the homotherium went extinct in Europe around 300,000 years ago. But there's a new study that just came out that was suggesting that they only went extinct 11,000 years ago in Europe. Well, Europe pushed out, there was many mass extinctions in Europe. They pushed out the hyenas and everything much
right,
earlier.
Yeah.
But they look, and now it looks like it survived the same amount of time in Europe as it did in Africa.
Interesting.
So these may be some of the monsters of European folklore.
Could
some be. Some of these really big cats. He's
crushing your head.
Talking about the Beast Jevadon, like literally biting the back of humans' heads off. We talk about hyenas doing that.
Yeah.
These guys did it too.
Hmm.
Because they were so much overpowered.
Ooh, what if like Jack the Ripper was actually just a homotherium?
In London?
Yeah.
I don't know about being in downtown London.
Grabbing people and just pulling them into a hole somewhere?
All right, let's talk about a cryptid now.
Ooh, okay.
One cryptid that seems like could be a possibility relative of homotherium, if not itself, is the Enduin or Plateau Tiger. So, E-N-N-E-D-I.
E-N-N-E-D-I?
Yeah. Enduin? Okay.
Entity?
Entity? Enidwai?
Entity is what I would say.
Entity? So the Entity Tiger. It's in Chad, Africa, which is where homotherium was there in Chad, Africa. You know, that's one of the areas they were in. The natives in the area have long told of two distinct large cat-like creatures that inhabit the mountains of nearby, which they call them Hijum, Gossamgum, and Vasco. Or another, you know, they have different names wherever you're going. Another area prefers, so that's the one that lives in the mountains. The other one prefers the water, which is the Morinurgan, the Maninurgan, or the Deli, are kind of their local names for these creatures.
Okay.
Collectively, they're often referred to as the Enduin Tigers. Keep in mind, Africa had tigers, normal
right.
tigers.
So they're distinctly giving them a separate name.
I don't know about Chad having normal tigers.
Oh, okay.
In relatively recent history, but Africa did have tigers.
Mm-hmm.
These beasts are described as having or being much larger than any lions in the area or any other extinct big cat. They're covered with thick, dark red or reddish-brown fur, which exhibits a large black or black and white stripes and a mane, but the mane runs right down the spine.
Like a hyena.
Yeah, which is more accustomed to saber-toothed cats. That's where they had their mane.
Okay.
They had a big ridge of hair down their back. Like a hyena, very similar to a hyena. Most interesting, the creature is said to have sport two very long, sharp front fangs, these canines. They are often described as being almost walrus-like.
Mm.
Now, like I said, Homotherium had some pretty large ones, but nothing like Smilodons. Some people say they're 16 inches. Most reports say that they're, which would be more...
Smilodon.
Way bigger than Smilodon.
Yeah, 16 inches bigger. Huge.
But most people report them as like being 6 to 8 inches long, which would be right in that homotherium, because most yeah. of it is in the mouth.
Inside, yeah.
And they would just point at the bottom of the jaw, which is a huge teeth.
Gosh, 16 inches would be like those, what is it, those boars?
Way that have, bigger than like a T-Rex.
What are those animals that have like their teeth are actually coming through like the top of their
pig.
Mouth?
I can't think of the name of it.
Something nuts.
It sounds very much like a saber-toothed cat. And indeed, the natives are shown pictures of these creatures in books. And they said, yeah, that's what they are. Wrong color, but right thing.
Yeah.
Because most of the saber-tooths you see and draw in artist depictions are tan. And they're like, no, they're red. They're red, and sometimes they have stripes, sometimes they don't. But yeah, so they were talking about these saber-toothed cats. As far as being merely an elusive mystery creature known to the natives in the region, the Enduin Tiger has been spotted by outsiders on occasion as well. In 1910, a rather dramatic account from a group of French missionaries who were traveling up the Bangagai River said they when they were pounced upon by a massive cat with large protruding fangs, which apparently leapt right out of the water and drug one of the party members in the water like a crocodile,
jeez.
Submerging and vanishing.
That's insane. Do cats do that?
Tigers, some species of tigers.
Really?
And jaguars, and
they'll actually
jaguars.
They'll go in the water?
They hunt underwater. There's videos of them in like zoos, like actively looking at stuff underwater.
Actually, I think I have seen that now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But it's not something you picture with a cat ever.
No, because you have this idea that cats don't like water. And a lot of cats do like water. Depends on what cat.
Yeah. House cats, no.
Well, yeah. But that's a very different animal than a big cat.
I know.
Tigers love water.
Really?
Tigers have massive water enclosure, like in their enclosures. That's what they, like,
yeah,
polar
bears. Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
And jaguars are like water cats. Hmm. They hunt caiman underwater.
Water panthers?
There you go. Those are called otters.
Oh, okay.
No, I just, it's just my big belief.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah. So this French missionary group, out of the water, jumped a saber-toothed cat.
Grabbed him.
Grabbed a guy and pulled him in. And there's a video of that happening with one of the tigers, I think in India.
Oh, my gosh.
Where they were hunting this tiger.
Yeah.
And it got in the water, and it wasn't diving into the water, but swam out, grabbed the guy off the boat, swam him back to shore, and then ate him.
That's so scary. That's so scary. Nature's wild.
So in these areas, there were hunters and naturalists named Marcel Henry, or Henley, who found a dead hippopotamus in 1920 by the river that exhibit deep, gruesome wounds that were seemed to be inflicted by some unknown predator, which he would later write about in his diary. In 1975, a hunter named Christian Lee Knoll was with some of his native guys on the Indui Plateau. When they were heard, a booming, spine-tingling roar issued from the murky depths of a cave. So once again, they have lions.
Yeah.
They know what lions are. Lions make a bellowing roar. They have a very distinct sound. Tigers have a very distinct sound.
So this is different.
So they're like, ah, that's not good.
Yeah.
The panicked natives allegedly immediately identified it as a saber-toothed creature. And they refused to go no further. They're like, they told Noel...
Like, nope.
No. And they keep in mind, they'd hunt tigers on this trip.
Yeah.
Or not tigers, lions. They'd hunt lions on this trip.
So they know.
Yeah, they weren't scared of lions.
Yeah.
A 400-pound monster that lives in prides.
So this is
And they're like, that's a saber-toothed cat.
Yeah, we're not dealing with that.
You don't go over there. Interesting, though, Noel would also have the same excursion find a horribly mutilated hippo on the River Ogun. It had been killed by something with very, very long fangs.
Hmm.
So if any animal is killing hippos, that's impressive.
Absolutely, yeah.
And these could be, for example, these hippos could have been killed by other hippos.
And then scavenged upon?
Well, hippos have massive teeth.
Yeah.
And they murder each other with them all the time.
Mm.
So these deep tooth gouges they're describing could be from another hippo.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But if any animal was going to kill a hippo, it'd be a saber-toothed cat. And they're not saying, once again, these are old accounts. Nobody's saying that these hippos are full-grown.
No, right.
You know, there's nobody saying these are 4,000-pound adult male hippos. They could be, you know, 1,000-pound juveniles. They could be babies. I just watched a baby getting eaten by a crocodile because mom didn't pay attention.
Wonderful. Way to bring a little cheer to the... No, I'm just kidding.
There have also been curious accounts of a plausible saber-toothed cat from other parts of the world as well. In Mexico, there was accounts from the great cryptozoologist Ivan T. Sanderson, who claimed in 1940 he had come into the possession of a unique skin of some sort of big cat, which natives said had been killed not too long before. The skin measured 6 foot long. It was unlike any sort of cat known in the area. So let's talk about in the area. Mountain lions, jaguars.
That it?
That's pretty much it. As far as really big cats.
Right, yeah.
There are other large cats. Like, you know, bobcats and fusas. I can't remember. Ocelots.
Yep.
So there are other big cats in the area, but nothing 6 foot long.
Right, yeah.
Those are the two big guys. Mountain lions.
No cheetahs?
Well, the North American cheetah could be on this list.
There you go.
So it'd come into the sneak skin, measured 6 foot long, displaying stripes that were dark and light brown. It had very dark hindquarters. And most unique of all, it had some sort of hairy ruff that grew upwards from the shoulder blade that ran along the neck and the ears.
So basically that mane.
Saber-toothed cat.
Yeah.
That most of these species of saber-toothed cat had this mane. Sanderson said the skin was sort of for future analysis, but unfortunately it was destroyed along with other unique skins when the building was flooded.
By the Smithsonian Institute.
It could have been. Ivan T. Sanderson, and we've talked to Ian, you know, Father's Cryptozoology. He was more of a believer than Hovelman. Hovelman was much more of the more ground-based. They were both scientists.
Right.
But he had all this collection of today for DNA analysis. May have been just the mega mine of cryptids. He had collected a treasure trove of stuff we could have DNA tested.
Yeah.
The building was destroyed in a flood, and all of it was destroyed.
Hmm.
So Big Smithsonian did it.
Targeted them with their tornado guns.
Based upon the new nature of the skin, Sanderson speculated it was a new species. So he didn't even think it was a saber-toothed cat. He called it a Mexican ruffed cat.
Okay.
And because it was like a big ruff, it was, you know, colored.
Yeah.
But after that, many people speculate it was some sort of surviving saber-toothed cat. Maybe not a saber-toothed tiger, a Smilodon, but some other species. Like I think there was like 50 or 60 different species during the Pleistocene.
Oh, okay.
For many, many species yeah. of saber-toothed cat. From South America, there's also accounts, 1966, of a seaman in the Panigale who claimed that natural Saint Peter, the locals in Colombia and Ecuador, often spoke of a striped big cat around the size of a jaguar out in the jungles that possessed oversized, very sharp, protruding teeth. Interestingly, in the area, it was possible that saber-toothed cat was shot and killed in 1975. The carcass apparently had elongated front teeth measuring over 12 inches long. When a zoologist named Juan Xavier examined the report, he believed it was a surviving saber-toothed cat. It's unknown what happened to the specimen after that, though, which is frustrating to say the least.
Okay.
So that was, yeah. So I think that's we're at an hour. Let's talk about these two, and we'll save the other two for a different episode.
Absolutely.
So if you guys like this, we'll do it again. I mean, we're going to do it regardless. I already did the script.
Yeah, we're going to do it. It's happening.
So let's go back to short-faced bears.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I mean, really shaped North America and parts of Russia. As if you believe the conventional story and all that, it really shaped America. This one animal shaped when humans got here in the traditional thought. It shaped how people reacted, why people didn't stay in North America until later. You know, they kind of got in and ran south. And then they went to the parts, like, these guys were in, they kind of didn't go into Appalachia. That was kind of their wall. But it wasn't, we don't really know why. One thought is that they were being outcompeted by the abundance of black bears.
Okay.
That the extra food source, like I said, 60% of their diet's protein, the other parts vegetation, they may not have been able to get the other part due to the sheer number of black bears.
Okay.
Because, the densest population ever of black bears is in Appalachia.
Right, yeah.
They're all over North American and Central American continents. But that's the dense population. And that the areas where we didn't see them with grizzly bears is when the grizzly bears were in high density as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Kodiaks kind of survived and other populations of brown bear did not.
Right.
Because they were too much to bother with. And there was already a bunch of them.
Too big to bother.
Barely.
But that was a good one.
Dad joke.
Yeah.
So what do you think about short-faced bears?
Well, I think it's interesting that there's still like some remnants about them. The skull, what's his name?
McFarlane.
McFarlane's skull is still like, I mean, listen to our episode on it. I think it was on, was it on Patreon or was it a regular episode? I don't remember.
So that's in...
I don't remember. It was a while ago.
That's in Smithsonian's Evil, part one or part two.
Okay.
Part two, I think, is only available on Patreon.
I think so, too.
And that's not because we put it behind a paywall. That's because the stuff we talked about can't really be on the main page.
Right, yeah. A little weird. It's got very, very weird very fast. But, that one was always interesting to me, but I didn't know about how we had so many evidence of us, like, killing and murdering them, like, hunting them. Actively, which is...
Here in Ohio.
Right here in Ohio. That's,
you know where Chardon, Ohio is, right? Up by Cleveland, I believe.
Is it? Okay. I don't know for sure.
I'll look.
I think that's pretty interesting, but it goes to show, like, the mastery of our land that, humans ultimately will take every corner of the world that they're in, just about, excluding some rainforests in Australia. But, we take over our land. We take control of it, and killing a... How big were they? 8 foot tall at the shoulder bear, the murder machine.
It's like 6 foot tall at the shoulder.
That's pretty impressive.
I mean, you imagine seeing, people don't get how big some of these animals were.
Like a blue whale?
Like a blue whale. Nobody can rationalize. People that have seen humpback whales can't rationalize how big a blue whale
is. Blue whale is, yeah.
It's 8 humpback whales.
It's insane.
Which is, humpback whales in the top 10 largest animals on the planet.
Yeah.
And then the biggest animal on the planet is...
8 times the size of that, yeah.
A grizzly bear is highly impressive. They're highly impressive animals. I really don't think many animals could defeat, there's always that joke, a grizzly bear versus a gorilla, who would win? It's the grizzly bear. If my brother's, I don't think he's listening to this, I always say the gorilla because it bothers him. He's like, you're an animal guy and you really think the gorilla would win?
Yeah.
I said it for years.
Yeah.
The gorilla would not win.
It could.
that gorilla would be cut in half. I'm talking like a serious, like, both are mad.
Yeah. I don't know.
A full-grown adult grizzly bear is going to murder a full-grown silverback.
I don't know. I think the gorilla, you know, would grab onto it and...
That's what like, it's going to just snap its leg off.
I'm trying to do it to you to see if you would...
The tree trunk-sized leg
yeah.
with the 8-inch claws.
It might grab its head and twist it right off.
Die!
Yeah, they're pretty strong.
No, so I really think... I don't know if they're still out there today. I do believe there were short-faced bears in less than the last 100 years.
Yeah, modern times, yes.
I still think they're there. I still think they're out there. Probably Yukon, Siberia, those kind of areas.
Wherever they're at, there's very, 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 very low numbers of humans there.
Yeah.
You can guarantee it.
But when we talked about the bulldog bear, which I don't remember if that was on Tony's show or it was on our show. We've done so many episodes now, I can't ever keep it straight.
I don't know.
But when we talked about the bulldog bears, like people would see these massive bears run down bison and just throw them to the ground. And that's all they could say is a bulldog bear.
That's just insane if you really think about it, like how big that is.
And that was in the 1800s, 1900s.
Yeah.
Like that was like not that long ago.
Anything that can throw a bison.
Or at least rust one to the ground.
It's very big and strong.
If you guys don't realize how, like there's a couple videos and once again, you know, don't let your kids watch it. But there's a couple videos of black bears actively hunting, which they're not great at it.
No.
With big herbivores.
Anything, really.
200-pound deer.
Yeah.
And they can do it. They have the bite pressure. They have the claws. Like, they can kill.
Just not good.
They're not effective at it because they don't have practice. Like, that's not a big part of their diet.
Right.
They eat fawns and stuff like that. That's more like just grab it and run.
Right, yeah.
But, like, that video of the one in Tennessee, like, fighting with this deer to, like, the death. And the bear was... very hurt at the end of it. So imagine that with a bison.
Yeah, no.
But it throwing the bison. So look at how much the black bear, the 300-pound black bear, struggled with a 150-pound deer.
Yeah. Now, like, what, 3,000-pound bison, maybe more?
Let's say, you know, 1,500 pounds just to be safe.
I don't know.
They get big. I'm not saying they don't get big, but who knows how big the one you seen murdering, you know, was.
Right, yeah.
But it's still something a grizzly bear wouldn't do. A polar bear probably wouldn't try it unless it was really hungry, you know.
But a short-faced bear?
That's what they were designed to.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I mean, you imagine finding caves of just dead black bears and humans.
Human bones, yeah.
Like, I noticed something distinct.
I need to leave.
About this bone arrangement. It's all carnivores and us.
Yeah. Time to go.
And they sought out other carnivores. These were like the bullies on the block. When these guys would come in, they would like they would look for, like, the smaller carnivores, by the time I'm saying smaller for them, like mountain lions.
Yeah.
But just go hide from them.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be what they do. They go into a little hole. They, you know, go up a tree. And that's a cat that would easily kill us.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And this is a monster looking for, like, the cave lions.
Right, yeah.
Looking for the North American giant hyena. Like, looking for...
lunch.
Predators that it could, like, just murder.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And they were around. I mean, they out-survived Smilodon in North America. Keep in mind, like, the other big fauna. They were out walking. There's a lot of evidence suggests that they were the number one predator of mammoth calves.
Okay.
Keep in mind what's associated with a mammoth calf.
A mammoth mom.
Yeah. A 12,000-pound hairy elephant.
And they didn't care, did they?
Well, what they think is they were so fast that they would kind of patrol the herds.
Wait for the moment to snatch one up?
No, they keep them walking. So they'd exhaust them.
Oh, okay.
So by the time that they were kind of slowing down, he could get in there and really kill the calf.
Grab it and pull it out of there before they
snap its neck.
Before they can get him. That's crazy.
So what do you think about Homotherium?
Okay. Well,
these saber cats, you can do saber cats in general.
Yeah.
Homotherium specifically. I picked Homotherium because out of all of the large saber cats, it survived the most recently.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the fossil bone record talks about. They were in pretty fair numbers. They had... corresponding animals that everything in their quote unquote corresponding environment survived in the modern day.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't find out of all the groups of corresponding animals, like the bones that they're often found with. So their little ecosystems.
Right.
All of their little ecosystems survived in today.
Still here. Why
I
didn't
really
they?
Couldn't find anything besides like subspecies that had went extinct.
Yeah.
So that means, you know, this Valley's version of a scrub python went extinct. Not scrub pythons, you know, they're still around. But they're Africa and Europe, and they had very close cousins in North and South America. Pretty much they were Asia, North America, Europe, Africa, South America, not Australia. We talked about why not Australia several times. So what do you think about, like, the Homotherium or big cat, like the saber cat in general?
Well, my thought is, I wonder if they're still there, like somewhere in some capacity hiding, you know, just hanging on.
So that plateau that we talked about, highly mountainous.
The one in Chad?
Yeah. It's a lifted plateau. And there are still biologists going there to this day, discovering new, larger species of reptile and stuff. It's very hard to get to.
Yeah.
And it's full of wildlife.
Interesting.
Man-eating wildlife.
Yeah, tough to navigate, huh?
And the Indu tiger, or however you say it, literally, and what did I say, 1975? It was in the 1900s, jumped in to a boat and grabbed a priest or a missionary and dragged him into the river and ate him like a crocodile.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You imagine if you're that French priest or that group of French priests, and you've seen tigers, you've seen lions, you've seen crocodiles. And so you kind of know what to expect, right?
Right, yeah. You know what you're getting yourself into.
And now a mega-sized saber-toothed cat jumps out of the river, grabs your buddy, drags him back into the river onto shore, and eats him like a crocodile.
Yeah, that's a monster.
I mean, that's a monster. And then the dead hippo thing, I don't know if that's imagination.
It could be whatever.
Hippos murder each other
all the time.
99% of the time you see a dead hippo, a hippo killed it.
Probably, yeah.
Because like hippo culture, they have culture, they have whatever you want to call it. There's always one bull that breeds all of the females in the harem. I mean, you see those big herds of like 50, 60, 70 hippos?
Yeah.
There's only one breeding bull.
Wow. All that.
He will let subordinate bulls stay there if they submit.
Yeah.
And a lot of bulls do it because, like, when water holes, like, dry up and stuff like that.
You need it.
They have to.
Yeah.
Or they'll fight for it, and a lot of times they're going to die. Hippos, it's, like, all about weight.
Yeah.
Because they're battering rams with teeth.
Like sumo wrestlers?
Yeah. Except if you taped machetes to the front of sumo wrestlers as they were running at each other.
Now that would be a sport.
Yeah. So for these creatures, if they did, let's say, kill a hippo, and I'm not saying they killed a 4,000-pound hippo.
Yeah.
I'm more likely thinking because they don't make a size, a thing of the weight. I'm going to guess it's closer to, you know, that 1,000-pound. There's a ton of hippos around that 1,000-pound mark.
The smaller versions. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of juveniles.
Not the big
bull.
A lot
of young sub-adults.
Right, you know? Exactly.
1910 for the French explorers.
Okay.
The French missionaries. Which is not that long ago.
No, 100 years ago, roughly.
And they've seen tiger. And that's the thing I think we've talked about a lot with this show, is that I hate how some researchers, some explorers, just ignore the natives' testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
They lived there.
They're the ones that know the best.
They know what a lion is.
Yeah.
Like, oh, these dumb natives. Think they're just describing a lion wrong.
Don't even know the animals that have been chasing their ancestors around the past like four decades. They don't know, or four or whatever generations.
Yeah. And they're just like, oh no, we hunt lion.
Yeah,
that up there in that cave
is different.
It's not a lion. Yeah, go ahead.
Dumb local. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Let's
and then
go,
you
guys.
Never hear from that explorer again.
Yeah.
No. Do you think these guys made it into modern day?
Well, I don't see why not, I guess.
And that's the common theory. So the next time we do this episode, I think both of these have survived in modern day.
Yeah.
I think in relic areas, saber cats, like Smilodon itself, that certain species went extinct.
Yeah.
Is they were hyper-specialized. So when we look at changing environments, the hyper-specialized individuals are who go extinct first.
Right, exactly.
That's just how it happens. That's just what happens in nature.
They lose their niche.
Yeah. They fast.
Mm-hmm.
The smaller, like the the Homotherium, out of all the major sized saber cats, was the fastest, most agile. And that's why I kind of picked them. They are probably the most likely to able to adapt to changing environments and new prey items.
Okay.
Or the smaller prey items were always there. They were never the ones hunting like the big guys. They're not hunting elephants. They're not hunting giraffes. They're not hunting full grown hippos. But they're not hunting deer, they're not hunting gazelle, you know, saber cats in general.
Right.
Hunting that meal size, that 1,000-pound, 1,200-pound animal range is what most of the big cats were hunting. So when they had other competition, because, I mean, there's other big cats, you know, Panthera is the major species of living, the family group of living big cats today. Pretty much every big cat you can think of is in the Panthera family group, the super group. And they survived it better in the modern day because as a family group, they were much more, generalist.
Okay.
They were able to switch up what prey items they were hunting.
They get adaptable.
Yeah, they weren't specialized.
Right.
Lions are pretty specialized, but they live in family groups. So that kind of helps kind of defeat that. You know, they can hunt bigger prey if they need to. If they want to go hunt big wildebeest or even juvenile hippos and stuff like that.
Do it as a team effort, not just a solitary way of living.
So hopefully you guys have enjoyed this really science-y episode with the monsters that made us. And I had a really cool thing to end it with, but I'm going to have to wait for the next episode because we have two more monsters to get through.
Oh, good. Okay.
I have been the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I've been J Clone 31.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cribbins the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.